This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Election season goes from 0 to 60. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, March 1st, glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
12 states today hold primaries or caucuses in the presidential primary race. Frontrunners Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are favored to win most of them.
Apple and the FBI testify on Capitol Hill today over unlocking iPhones for criminal probes. Meanwhile, a judge in New York says prosecutors cannot force Apple to help investigators.
After 10 years of silence on the Supreme Court, Justice Clarence Thomas has broken his silence, asking questions during a gun case.
And the traveler who collect barf bags, sometimes going to extremes.
He kind of breaks out of line from boarding his plane, scrambles up the stairs to the airline as he's kind of being followed by airport security, and manages to get a stewardess on the plane to give him one of these bags before the kind of security dragged him away.
Wall Street Journal reporter Matt Dalton in Paris on what makes an air sickness bag worthy of a collector's attention. He's here later in the hour. Well, today is the busiest day on the presidential primary calendar, known as Super Tuesday. A dozen states are holding primaries or caucuses today, with large portions of convention delegates up for grabs. Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump have chances to put significant distance between the respective challengers in their march toward their party's nomination. On the Republican side, frontrunner Mr. Trump is predicting a series of victories that would all but end the GOP nominating contest.
We are going to win with health. We are going to win with education. We are going to win at the borders. We're going to win with our military. We're going to win.
Meanwhile, his opponents, including Florida Senator Marco Rubio, are arguing that a Trump nomination would destroy the GOP's chances in the fall.
A vote for Donald Trump tomorrow is a vote for Hillary Clinton in November. I will not let that happen. You should not let that happen.
Mr. Trump leads the polls in nearly all of today's states, with the exception of Texas, home base of Senator Ted Cruz, who feels he is still in the best position.
There will be a big, big drop-off between us and everybody else in the field. And that, in turn, will effectively narrow this field.
Most rivals continued to take Mr. Trump to task yesterday about his reticence over the weekend to reject the support of David Duke, the former Ku Klux Klan official. Mr. Trump, who previously had disavowed him, said yesterday he had a bad earpiece during a CNN interview and couldn't fully understand the question. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, given what her campaign sees as a favorable landscape, Mrs. Clinton appears to have decided it's time to take aim at Republicans, essentially ignoring challenger Bernie Sanders.
I want to help middle class and working families and poor families. I do not want you or anybody else paying taxes to send Donald Trump's youngest kid free to college. I'm not going to do that.
Meanwhile, in an attempt to reduce her lead, Mr. Sanders, the Vermont senator, continues connecting Mrs. Clinton to big money donors on Wall Street while also needling Mr. Trump.
If you don't want big money to control government, don't vote for candidates that take money from big banks, oil, or weirdo billionaires.
Mr. Sanders may trail in the polls, but he remains financially strong. His campaign announced he's raised more than $36 million this month, giving him every incentive to fight on for the larger delegate prizes against the former Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, in March, such as Michigan. Well, Super Tuesday is also known as the SEC primaries, a college football reference, since a lot of the states casting ballots are home to big-time programs in the Southeast Conference. But as Niels Lesniewski at Roll Call reports, Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida aren't playing to win today, necessarily. They're fighting for delegates. hoping to keep Donald Trump from collecting enough to claim the nomination before the convention. He's been bouncing around Alabama and Tennessee. Niels, what's the buzz?
People are enthusiastic about having a say in the process that folks down here in the Deep South have not had in previous cycles. You know, they moved up a lot of these primaries to March 1st for 2016, which gives people across the South an opportunity to have a voice in the process, like the folks in places like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. It's new to folks down here, and they haven't. And as a part of that, they're sort of learning as they go along. If you go into diners or barbecue joints or whatever, they're not used to having to pay attention to sort of the political process this way.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so what are some of them saying then? Is there more energy, for example, than there's been in the past?
There absolutely is more energy. There was a rally over the weekend that we attended in northern Alabama, just outside of Huntsville, where Donald Trump, the, of course, front runner and real estate mogul, filled a high school football stadium. And for anyone who knows anything about Alabama, you know how big a high school football stadium is in Alabama? There was probably, it's a 7,000-seat stadium that the Trump folks claim there was 30,000 or more people at the venue. I'm not sure that's entirely true, but it was certainly a huge crowd that showed up on Sunday night. Monday morning, we saw a rally in Knoxville, Tennessee, or just outside Knoxville, Tennessee, where Marco Rubio filled an airport hangar, even though people were supposed to be at work. And there was a whole bunch of people who raised their hands to say that they were actually either skipping work or skipping school to see Senator Rubio.
Mm. We're speaking with Niels Lesniewski, staff writer at Roll Call. He's got a piece entitled "Cruz and Rubio Playing for Second Place in the SEC," referring to the Super Tuesday primary states. No kidding. Wow. All right. So I thought it interesting, given what Donald Trump has done so far. There are at least a couple of people, I think, from your story who question his support and whether or not it will be there throughout the day on Super Tuesday when it's time to fish or cut bait.
Right. The question, which is sort of always the question for Trump, and turned out worked in his favor in South Carolina, is if these people are actual voters, right? That you have a situation where Mr. Trump appears to be bringing new people into the process, and they're frustrated with the political system, but the message repeated from Trump and his campaign is, folks, you actually have to go to the polling place, because we're probably talking about people who are not what you would typically call, quote-unquote, likely voters. These aren't people who necessarily have a long track record. Some of them are, but certainly when you're dealing with a different electorate, you're not entirely sure what you're going to get in terms of actual turnout from it.
Thanks, Niels. Niels Lesniewski at Roll Call. Again, Texas Senator Ted Cruz leads in his home state of Texas. That's about the only spot right now. Mr. Trump leading everywhere else. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 8866 at checkout. Code 8866.
Welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us this morning. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the pause in the fighting in war-torn Syria is largely holding, despite some incidents that he hoped would be contained. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said efforts were being made to track down alleged violations, but there was currently no evidence to suggest it would destabilize the fragile peace. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says no one thought this would be perfectly implemented.
We did anticipate that there would be reports of violations and that we would encounter some potholes on the road to implementing this successfully.
Meanwhile, a senior official from Syria's main opposition group told Reuters that the fragile international attempt to halt nearly 5 years of fighting was in danger of collapse because of attacks by government forces. The truce, which took effect Saturday, was drawn up by Washington and Moscow, which have competing interests in Syria. This truce, by the way, does not include terrorist groups like Islamic State. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a raucous and protest-ridden Donald Trump rally on the eve of Super Tuesday featured a verbal and physical altercation between a news media photographer and a Secret Service agent, complete with profanity, a chokehold, and a body slam. Chris Morris, a photographer for Time, was escorted out of the tense rally amid an anti-Trump protest and detained before being released. Trump's hour-long speech was interrupted multiple times by protesters.
All right, get out of here. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Time says it has contacted the Secret Service to express concerns about the level and nature of the agent's response to its photographer who was trying to get pictures of protesters. The State Department has released the 14th and final batch of emails from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's private server, bringing the total to more than 52,000. In releasing the final batch of 3,800 documents, the department also settled a long-running dispute over an email about North Korea's nuclear program. While some claimed it was top secret, it was determined that the information was a lower classification. President Obama will meet face-to-face today with the Senate Republican leaders who are vowing to block his Supreme Court nominee. Mitch McConnell and Chuck Grassley are due at the White House mid-morning for a sit-down with the president, vice president, and several top congressional Democrats. Four students were injured after a 14-year-old walked into the lunchroom at a school in Middletown, Ohio yesterday and started shooting. The suspect ran out of the school but was apprehended on school property. He was charged as a juvenile with two counts of attempted murder, two counts of assault, one count of inducing panic, and one count of making terrorist threats. And a Google self-driving car has been involved in an accident. A report filed with California's Department of Motor Vehicles says the computer-controlled car collided with a public bus on Valentine's Day. The Lexus SUV, which is being tested by Google, was rolling at 2 miles an hour, the bus at 15. No one was hurt.
All right. It'll be an interesting one to explore. Is it the first one?
No.
Right, in which the Google self-driving car is being blamed.
Yes.
Something along those lines, right? Yes. Or that it's
at
fault,
yes.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It thought the 15-mile-an-hour bus would slow down as the 2-mile-an-hour car was crossing in front of it, something like that. 23 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by TIAA CREF. TIAA. Discover what makes us a different kind of financial partner at the new TIAA.org. In the latest move to appeal to young sports fans increasingly dependent on mobile devices, the Phoenix Suns are offering free mobile data to people who buy tickets to see them play. It's a story from MarketWatch reporter Katie Burke. Katie, what's behind this?
The idea is to kind of market it towards millennial fans who tend to be more dependent on their mobile devices. And I mean, I know I have a big problem of going through my data quickly each month. And just to kind of appeal to those fans and kind of remarket the package ticket deal for a more modern, more technology-focused fan base.
All right, so how does it work then? Does it come in a digital ticket? You get an email and you punch in a code to your phone or something, or what?
Yeah, so you buy a ticket through a certain web page. I think it's like Phoenix Sun / Verizon. And when you buy the ticket, you enter in your phone number, or if you aren't a Verizon customer, a friend of yours who is, you just enter in the phone number, and then they add the extra data to the front of your plan, and then any leftover data just rolls over to the next month.
Oh, that's convenient. Well, I like the rollover idea. That's definitely
exactly
attractive.
Yeah,
very good. You mentioned, too, that with regards to ticketing and stuff, more teams are now pushing the mobile ticketing. Explain that.
Yeah, so I mean, through different ways, teams are kind of either making it more convenient for fans to buy tickets or just completely converting to mobile platforms. There's this one service called ReplyBuy that about 10 teams in the NBA have signed up for, along with college and other professional sports teams, where fans can sign up, and if extra tickets become available for a game either that day or in the next couple days, they get a text saying, hey, these tickets are free, this is how much they are. You can reply saying, great, I want four, and automatically you have tickets for that night's game.
Mm-hmm.
So just making it convenient and easy to kind of access these tickets instead of having to go to the website or the box office to go to see the game.
Yeah. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Katie Burke. She's got a piece entitled Professional Sports Teams Lure Fans with Free Phone Data. The millennial fans, does it go without saying how important they are, say, to, you know, like a future fan base of a team?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and they're becoming a much, much bigger part of the market. So that's kind of who they have to, cater to. And, especially as digital and mobile platforms become more important, brands need to be able to interact with their customers more and kind of make it a mutually beneficial relationship. Especially, I mean, millennials are much more particular about what brands they choose to interact with. So things like free data and other things that they feel like they can benefit from will help these brands attract them to their market.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Burke. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the typical 9-to-5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. You need to use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's that quick and easy. You'll save money with Stamps.com, too. It's just a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Plus, you'll get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Super Tuesday, March 1st. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Super Tuesday is here. Clinton and Trump's to lose. They are both leaders. Capitol Hill hearing today on encryption for Apple and the FBI. The owner of the New York Stock Exchange might make a play for the London Stock Exchange. How about this? Russian police arresting a woman holding the severed head of a young child. She was yelling, "I am a terrorist." Astronaut Scott Kelly returns to Earth after a record 340-day mission scheduled to land in Kazakhstan. And the people who collect barf bags. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, after months of campaigning, it's easy to paint Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, technically a political independent, as the raging liberal, the idealist, the anti-Wall Street crusader, and to paint former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as the pragmatist, the centrist, the friend of Wall Street. But Emily Cadet at Newsweek has taken an in-depth look at Mrs. Clinton's 8-year career in the Senate and Mr. Sanders' 23 years in the Senate and House, and concludes the two are not as different as they might appear. Emily, what have you found?
You know, what I find is that on a lot of issues, the differences have really been played up on the campaign trail, but they really operated on a pretty similar way on Capitol Hill, and that's from the fact that they were both sort of trying to work within the legislative process to get their goals achieved, to also the types of issues they were, you know, valuing. I mean, Bernie in particular talks a lot about the excesses of Wall Street. But, you know, neither of them was really sort of in the weeds trying to pass legislation addressing some of the things Wall Street was doing, some of the risky bets Wall Street was placing in the lead up to the financial crisis last decade.
We're speaking with Emily Cadde, political correspondent at Newsweek. Her piece is called Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton Are More Alike Than You Think. Neither, although you said they co-sponsored a lot of each other's legislation, neither one got much done legislatively, correct?
Right. And that's another thing that's sort of interesting. I mean, they both have limitations in what they were able to accomplish. Clinton's campaign likes to talk a lot about how she is very accomplished and good at building coalitions, but you look at the things she did in Congress, and they're very targeted. When she was a senator from New York, a lot of her efforts were focused back on the state of New York, really helping rebuild Lower Manhattan after 9/11, getting benefits back to rescue workers. She really put a lot of effort into proving to people that she could be sort of that on the ground, all politics is local kind of senator, which people had doubts about going in. They just thought she was going to use her Senate job as sort of a national platform, and she proved them wrong. But in doing that, she, you know, wasn't focusing as much on sort of the headline national fights of the day. She intentionally sort of ducked the headlines. She even acknowledged that at the time. So she was doing very specific targeted things, and Sanders for the same, for similar issues, although, you know, he for him it was more about the fact that he was an independent, that he was a critic of both parties, but that limited him and his ability to get things done. They both were dealing with a Republican president, obviously, so they were limited in terms of how they could convince the other side to sign on and support stuff that they were pushing. But they both had their own sort of angles and focuses, but neither of them were really a big mover and shaker or someone who was really in the midst of a lot of the sort of knockdown, drag-out fights of the day.
Will we see the two continue to try to point out the differences, as difficult as it may be, as the campaign continues?
Yeah, I absolutely think that we're going to see those contrasts play out. But you're already seeing, in some ways, the Clinton campaign also trying to point out that, hey, this guy was in Congress for a long time. Like, hey, this guy was supporting a lot of things that I also supported. So they're trying to promote themselves and their candidate as the sort of the consensus builder. But they're also trying to say at the same time that Clinton cares about a lot of the same issues that Sanders is talking about.
Thanks, Emily. Emily Cadde at Newsweek, 21 minutes before the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you could be with us. Happy Super Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're a fan of baseball, you've no doubt noticed the trend in recent years of players hitting each other in the face with pies after winning games. The Baltimore Orioles had perfected this ritual with star outfielder Adam Jones as the primary pie smasher. It became so ingrained that Jones arranged with a local bakery to furnish the pies. Not all players were fond of Jones' antics, however, which generally came when an Orioles player was being interviewed on television. Now the team has decided to end the practice for safety reasons. Jones tweeted the bad news over the weekend, and an Orioles spokesman confirmed it yesterday. Now you can debate whether a pie in the face could really be considered a safety hazard or not, but it probably didn't help that the name of the bakery that was supplying the pies was actually called Dangerously Delicious.
Now the fun police are here.
Yes,
no
yes.
More pies in the face.
And of course now when they pop champagne in the locker room in October, they all have goggles now too.
Oh. Yeah. Right, the ski goggles.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
So every, you know, of course, all these kids now, they all grow up wearing helmets.
Yes.
So that's just where we're at now.
That's right.
Everything's safety first with everything now.
Pies and champagne, way too dangerous for today's elite athletes.
Sorry, no more fun. And Gordon, what's going on with turkeys in New Jersey? You might remember a week or two back, a flock of turkeys made national news after they held a New Jersey postal worker hostage in his truck, prompting his boss to call 911. Now, a woman in the state says a love-struck turkey has taken a liking to her son's brand new Honda Civic and won't let anyone else near the vehicle. UPI reports that the woman discovered a wild turkey wandering outside her home about 7:30 a.m. Friday, and she soon discovered the bird seemed to be enamored with her son's brand new Honda Civic, which he bought 2 months ago. The woman says the bird, which she named Patrick, wouldn't let anyone else near the car and even came toward her when she tried to scare it away. Some good news, though.
Bully.
Yeah. Patrick reportedly scampered into the woods on Friday afternoon and hasn't been seen since.
Really? Just just likes the new car smell, perhaps. It's a new Civic. I mean, what's not to like?
We don't normally get attacked by birds here in New Jersey, though. I'm wondering what's going on.
It's probably the end of the world or something, right?
Perhaps. Well, there's a lot of other things going on right now, politically, etc., that
Fair
might
points.
Suggest that that is on its way.
Fair point. 15 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't pay your next medical bill until you get a second opinion. Why? Because 80% of all medical bills are wrong. Mistakes that are costing American families like yours and mine over $100 billion in overcharges annually. That adds up to about $1,000 per family per year. That's why I'm so impressed with Remedy. Remedy was created to make sure people never overpay due to medical billing mistakes. Here's what to do. First, simply send your medical bill to Remedy. Next, Remedy's medical specialists review your bills for mistakes, from double billings to bad addresses to incorrect medical codes, mistakes that could cost you thousands, even with insurance. Then Remedy finds and corrects any mistakes while working with your doctor's office and insurance company so you don't overpay. And here's the best part. If Remedy can't save you money, they won't charge you a dime. Go to tryremedy.com/deal, where there's never a charge unless they save you money. Again, the website, tryremedy.com/deal. Glad you could be with us on this all-important Super Tuesday. Welcome aboard. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are poised to pull ahead of their competition in the Democratic and Republican primaries on this Super Tuesday. On the Republican side, 595 delegates are at stake. For Democrats, 859 delegates will be allocated. Meanwhile, on the campaign trail yesterday in Virginia, Trump declined to comment on the recent controversy over former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke, but he did get into a verbal scuffle again with protesters. Trump was interrupted about five times, once by a large group of black students.
You're going to hear it once. All lives matter. All lives matter.
When interrupted by a young female protester, Trump asked her if she was from Mexico. A Brooklyn judge has scolded the government in a stinging rebuke of arguments it has used to shame Apple for refusing to surrender information from its customers' iPhones, saying it's stretching a 1789 law to get impermissibly absurd results. The ruling in a Brooklyn case came a day before a congressional hearing today that will include testimony from FBI Director James Comey and Apple's general counsel on encryption and balancing American security and privacy. Justice Clarence Thomas broke his silence after 10 years of not asking a question on the bench. Yesterday, he asked nearly a dozen questions during oral arguments in a case examining whether convictions for a reckless misdemeanor domestic violence assault can prevent firearm ownership. The Obama administration says it'll be keeping a closer watch on state agencies in charge of drinking water safety in an effort to prevent more cases like Flint. The EPA says states should double-check their procedures for treating and sampling and make information like lead and copper testing results and the location of lead water pipes available online. Big leaguers are getting a written reminder that smokeless tobacco is banned at Major League Baseball stadiums in Boston, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. One-page letters from the League and Players Association are being put in clubhouse stalls throughout spring training. And now we have smart water pitchers. The new Brita pitcher connects to Wi-Fi and automatically places an order on Amazon when it's time to change the filter. The Brita Infinity Smart Water Pitcher sells for $45.
Very clever. Very clever. Thank you, Jen. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Most air travelers would like to not even have to reference an air sickness bag on a flight, let alone touch it. But these barf bags, as they're known, are must-haves for some collectors who prize them for their sometimes humorous and unique designs. Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton in Paris has a look at some collectors who chase down unusual, artistic, and whimsical bags from airlines around the world. Matt, tell us about these guys.
I ran into one guy from the Czech Republic, who was who had about 3,000 air sickness bags in his collection, and he had just purchased a bag from Al Nasser Airlines, which is a small Iraqi airline, and it was a kind of extremely large bag, or unusually large bag, which he attempted to explain as perhaps being for a family. Not that I don't know why you'd want to use use the same air sickness bag or share it amongst your children or your wife or husband. Then there was another guy. I went to an airline paraphernalia show in Frankfurt, and other than air sickness bags, people collect the safety cards that you find, you also find in the seatbelt pocket of an airplane. So the air sickness bag collectors are viewed as the kind of the lunatics in this crowd, but I think pretty much they're all kind of strange.
Right. We're speaking with Matthew Dalton, Wall Street Journal Paris correspondent. He's got a fun story entitled Memento of Air Travel's Golden Age, the barf bag, and he's talking about some of the unique collections of air sickness bags that some folks have. How about the guy, though? Boy, you open this story with the guy trying to get on a plane at the Zagreb airport in the early 90s, but just to get an air sickness bag.
Yeah, he's a pretty normal guy. He's a German gynecologist, a doctor, who also happens now to have one of the world's largest air sickness bag collections. And he was in Zagreb in the early 90s, and he saw this airline, an airplane parked elsewhere on the tarmac, Anich Airways, which is an airline that no longer exists, and it was an airline he evidently had never heard of. So he kind of breaks out of line from boarding his plane, scrambles up the stairs to the airline as he's kind of being followed by airport security, and manages to get a stewardess on the plane to give him one of these bags before the kind of security dragged him away.
Wow. Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton in Paris. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 8866 at checkout. Code 8866.